Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, our thousands, our millions of listeners, actually, because it's not only in this country, but we do go throughout the world. But also a huge pleasure to welcome to the show four wonderful, exciting, delightful, talented, exuberant, and somewhat dysfunctional sometimes, players of the game, who are going to once more to pit their wits, their verbal ingenuity, their humorous ingenuity against each other as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and also try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And those four delightful people are sitting on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and sitting on my left, Graham Norton and Linda Smith. Please welcome all four of them. And beside me sits Janet Staplehurst. She's going to help me keep the score. She's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds is up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Yvonne Arnault Theatre in that delightful town of Guildford. And for those who are interested in memorabilia, the Yvonne Arnault, one of the most brilliant actresses on our stage in the past, was one of the regular panelists on a forerunner of this show, which was called One Minute Please. And from that was spun Just a Minute. I thought you might be interested in that before we go on. It's left you absolutely cold. You couldn't care less. So let's get on with Just a Minute, which is much funnier than One Minute Please. And we begin the show with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is answering back. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Shan't.
Paul, you challenge immediately.
Well, not immediately. Hesitation.
I think you're correct, actually. What we do there, because we enjoyed Clement's response, it was very clever and very sharp, we give him a bonus point for that.
Bonus.
Yes. So we start off with one bonus point, but Paul's challenge was correct, so he gets a point for a correct challenge, and he takes over the subject of answering back, and there are 57 seconds starting now.
Answering back is generally a good thing, because we must challenge authority. If you take this programme, for example, Nicholas is a superb chairman who occasionally makes a mistake in his judgment. It hardly ever happens. I think the last one was about 4 minutes ago. And it's extraordinary how he manages to stand in front of the audience as the show begins and announce himself in stentorian tones, and they stand back aghast. They daren't answer him back.
Linda, challenge.
Two stands.
Yes.
Linda Ears Smith. Wow. Oh.
Linda, a correct
challenge. And also, I get a little frisson when they go, ooh.
Oh, yeah, that sets you alight, does it?
It certainly does.
I must try that afterwards in the wings. The,
Not on a first date, Nicholas.
Correct challenge, 30 seconds available. Answering back, starting now.
Answering back is something that you're told not to do when you're a child. You'll be asked a question, what do you think you're doing? You try to answer this inquiry and immediately get shouted at. Someone will say, don't answer back. Well, what a ridiculous thing to do. How are you supposed to respond with silence? I suppose that will be called dumb insolence, wouldn't it? You just can't win.
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of you. The word...
Yeah. You did come in.
It was like a festival of you,
it
wasn't
was.
It? It was like a competition to see how many times I could say the word you. Yeah. Well, and I'm just glad someone's had the guts to stop me.
Yes, he let two go, but after that, he couldn't
resist. I need boundaries.
Paul, another correct challenge, and 4 seconds available. Dill is something about answering back, starting now.
Supposing Adolf Hitler hadn't been stood up to, because in this country we made sure.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, who now has a strong lead at the end of the round. And Linda, will you take the next round? The subject is the long arm of the law. So tell us something about the long arm of the law in just a minute, starting now.
The long arm of the law refers to a policeman's ability to always get their man. I'm very keen on the long arm of the law if it takes the form of detective shows on television. I love a murder. In fact, any show sponsored by Lea Dammer Cheese.
Graham, you pressed your buzzer first.
Repetition of show.
Yes. You've talked about a show.
Well, yes, you get more than one.
Yeah.
So, Graham, you had a correct challenge.
I do.
You have the long arm of the law. You don't have it, but you have the subject. And... No. And the... 44 seconds starting now.
In Ireland, when I was growing up, families would decide one son would become a priest and then another one a policeman. That child would have a large weight tied to its arm. And as it grew up, one would become much longer than the other one. And then they'd be excellent at catching villains, even around corners and the bends of lanes, for Ireland is a rural place.
Clement Chalmers.
Repetition of Ireland.
Yes, yeah. Ireland, yes.
I hear you people. Yeah.
Clement has the subject, so correct challenge, another point, of course. 12 seconds, the long arm of the law starting now.
The long arm of the law is rather a dated phrase, referring to the times when policemen caught thieves.
A poor challenge.
There was a hesitation there.
There was, yes, he made his point. So, he paused because the audience applauded. So I will be very generous on this occasion and say that give Clement a bonus point because they did enjoy the point he made. But Paul...
In a rally sort of way.
Yes. Paul had a correct challenge, so he gets a point for it.
Vote now!
Yeah. Paul, a correct challenge. 4 seconds, the long arm of the law, starting now.
In 1963, Peter Sellers made a marvellously comic film written by...
And Paul Merton, speak as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now in the lead ahead of Clement Freud, Linda Smith and Graham Norton in that order. And I'll give a bonus point to anybody who can say another person who was in that film, The Long Arm of the Law.
Nicholas Parsons.
Yes, you've got no bonus points. Yes.
I mean, nominally, Peter Sellers was the star. You stole it from under his nose.
I challenge you. I don't think you were in Wrong Arm of the
Law. I had a very small part as a policeman in that.
Did you? Wrong
yes,
Arm of the Law?
In The Long Arm of the Law.
He was
yes.
The long arm of the policeman. It was one of the great arm actors of British
I was playing one of the long arms of the law.
Are you sure you're not mixing up with Two-Way Stretch?
No.
I think he should lose a point for patronising the chairman there. Are you sure? Now, have you had your dinner, Nicholas?
Graham.
Yes.
The subject is how to get a six-pack. Will you tell us how to... You can see that these subjects have all specially been chosen for
yes.
you to start with. Tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now.
The best way to get a six-pack is to go into an off-license or shop and say, can I have a six-pack, please?
And Paul Challen.
It was thorough.
Yes.
But hesitation.
But there was a hesitation.
Not really enough for a minute, I felt.
No.
I filmed as much as I could, but that's it, really.
So?
Some subjects just don't stretch. I did all I could.
God knows you did, Graham.
Yes.
The facial way that Graham plays just a minute is worth seeing, so you must have anybody...
Fight for a ticket.
Yes. Paul Merton, you had a correct challenge.
I'll never gap you.
And you have 52 seconds to tell us something about how to get a six-pack starting now.
Well, as Clement will now demonstrate, it's really about exercise. Now, if I can ask you, first of all, to touch your toes and up again. Yes, feeling the burn there in the middle.
Clement, you're challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed.
You wasn't doing the exercises, Nicholas.
But it's not very good on radio, actually, all that visual stuff. So, Clement, you have the subject of how to get a six-pack. You have 41 seconds, starting now.
I think Graham Norton gave a very good analysis, but I would like to add that if you went into an off-licence and could only get 5 or 7 bottles of beer, the addition or subtraction of an extra one would permit you to get a six-pack. I thought I would mention this.
Well,
because
Paul challenged.
Well, I think this is a deviation because it's all about bottles of beer, but I think the six pack is generally considered to be made up of tins, six cans of beer. That's your six pack, not 6 bottles of beer.
No, it isn't. It's not to do with either of them, it's to do with your muscles.
Not necessarily.
Oh, right.
Yes, but it's be called that because the six pack resembles a sort of.
Yes. I think you're right, actually.
They don't resemble bottles, do they? Because it's not big at one end and then thin at the other.
I think in the
but
beer.
But does your stomach look like cans? End on. That wouldn't be attractive either.
That's lovely.
I think
is that nice?
Yes, lovely.
I think you're right,
six
Paul.
6 little ring pulls all the way down.
Oh, like a dog with teats.
Yeah.
Paul, I do think in the realm of beer, you are correct.
Yeah.
And not to do with bottles, it's tins.
Yeah.
And so if there's any benefit of the doubt, you certainly have it.
No, that's
and
nice.
You have 24 seconds on how to get a six-pack starting now.
I've never really been one to pursue the body beautiful, as you can tell by looking at me now. I've let nature take its...
Graham, Clement challenged.
2 eyes.
Oh. Oh. You haven't won any friends with that challenge.
Just a minute, ninja.
I wasn't doing this for popularity.
But it is a correct challenge, Clement, so I have to give it to you. 17 seconds. How to get a six-pack starting now.
How to get...
Hesitation.
I thought he was rather slow.
Yeah, I thought so, didn't you? I thought so.
Someone who's in like that.
Yeah,
it was the first time.
Yeah, you could have parked a bus in there, couldn't you?
Yeah.
I made myself a ham sandwich in the middle of that.
Well, I thought Harold Pinter was playing the game.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know, for a minute I thought I'd gone deaf. Do you know that?
Paul, yes, you have a correct challenge. 16 seconds on how to get a six-pack, starting now.
That used to be my hat size. So you go into the off-licence, you say, I'll have 1 tin of Guinness. And you have a think about it. And you think, yes, I will have another...
Linda, challenge.
Repetition of you.
Yes, you go into an ice license and you say yes.
You.
Yes, but let's resist the I's and the U's from now on.
Yeah, back off.
Right. Well, it's
back
two,
off.
Two more letters than Clement's word, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Right, but you got it correctly.
Oh, I did.
Right. And therefore you have a point and you have 8 seconds. How to get a six-pack starting now.
How to get a six-pack couldn't be...
Graham.
Deviation.
Why?
Actually, not on the subject. He was talking about how to get a six-pack.
Well, we're Europeans now. Yeah. And I think a six-pack is quite acceptable.
I think we call that stumble a hesitation.
Yeah, it was a hesitation as well.
Yeah, you're right. So, Graham, you have the subject. 6 seconds. How to get a six-pack starting now.
Here in Guildford, you stride into the shop and say, a six-pack of potpourri, please.
Poor...
Sorry. We did have shop before.
I know, at the very beginning you said you went...
Off-licence or shop.
Oh, you're quite right. No, store, didn't I say store?
No.
Supermarket.
Off-licence or shop.
Shoppy with an E. Yeah. In Guildford.
Shoppy with an E.
That's how you spell it here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the rest of the country is up here, ye olde shoppy.
Yeah.
Ye olde...
I just pronounced it shop for listeners abroad.
Yes.
That's right, ye olde tenants extra.
No, but sorry, Graham, I do have to listen, and you did say shop.
I'm so sorry, I've got to listen. It's my job, they pay me, I must hear it.
Yeah, so I have to interpret as well. So, Paul, a correct challenge, 2 seconds, how to get a six-pack starting now.
Sylvester Stallone for the movie.
Linda challenged.
Who's Sylvester Stallone?
Linda, it was given against you because you slurred on a word and didn't sound correct, so I have to give it against Paul on this
Absolutely.
Occasion.
Absolutely. Mats and beans.
Yes, there we are. You have the subject back with 1/2 a second to go. How to get a six-pack starting now.
How to get a six-pack is...
So Lilla Smith speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, and she's now in a very strong second place alongside Clement Freud. They're just ahead of Graham Norton and just behind Paul Merton in that order. And Paul, your turn to begin. And the subject now, my favourite yoga position. Oh, they're anticipating something here. Tell us something about that, Paul. 60 seconds, starting now.
My favourite yoga position is the lotus. Let me demonstrate it for you. Yes, that's right. I actually have my left leg behind my ear. And if you notice now, Clement's doing exactly the same. Over to you. Yes, notice his pelt.
Clement has challenged.
I was doing as I was bid. Over to you, and I buzzed.
Over to you.
He said over to you.
Yes, and you buzzed. So what is your challenge within the rules of just a minute?
Lack of disobedience.
That's just not one of the rules.
Anybody
could have had him for hesitation, but nobody did.
No, nobody did. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, Linda, it's too late. So, Paul, I must explain to the listeners, he was demonstrating during that long pause. The sound hadn't disappeared. BBC do keep their sound going all the time. Yeah. And
due to the unique way it's funded.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. It is true, if the licence fee doesn't go up, only half our words can be broadcast. Just the vowels.
So, Paul, you have the benefit of the doubt. You have the subject still. 37 seconds. My favourite yoga position starting now.
Undoubtedly, yoga can promote a marvellous feeling of self-esteem and confidence. It takes maybe 20 minutes in the morning and again in the evening to settle down, meditate, clear your thoughts away from your brain and allow your consciousness to sink down somewhere into the middle of your solar plexus.
Linda Chance.
That's nonsense.
I have to judge on this. I think, metaphorically speaking, we all knew what Paul was saying. But technically speaking, and we are playing with words here, Linda, you are correct. So we have to give you the benefit of the doubt.
You've just dismissed centuries of Eastern religion there.
No, that's what they're
saying. Well, I look forward to the letters. Right.
So 18 seconds for you, Linda, on my favourite yoga position starting now.
My favourite yoga position is called...
pronunciation of words. I think we had a bit favourite there.
Yeah, that's actually the yogic pronunciation.
Don't talk to him about yogic pronunciation.
No, I will be fair. Twice I've given it against people who did not get the correct pronunciation because they were deviating from the language as we usually pronounce it or speak it. So I've got to be consistent on this and say, Paul, you have the subject back. 16 seconds. My favourite yoga position starting now.
One leg crossed over the other, staring...
Graham's challenge.
Repetition of leg.
Yes, you were talking about your leg behind your neck at the leg.
Yes. I did.
Well, listen, Graham, you've got 13 seconds. You tell us something about my favourite yoga position starting now.
My favourite yoga position is the yawning lamb. It's quite exhausting. You can end up...
Challenge. No, there was no hesitation.
You can't giggle in the middle of a word.
I was speaking!
I found that rather charming.
Yes. He giggled through it, but he giggled through a lot of his words.
Somebody's got to.
Benefit of the doubt. It's part of his charm.
Graham with the laughing voice. Yes.
That's right. It's part of his charm. And anyway, it's benefit of the doubt. Anyway, 6 seconds for you still, Graham, on my favourite yoga position starting now.
My favourite yoga position is the sneezing ferret.
Deviation.
What?
He didn't giggle.
Give Clement a bonus point for his remark there. He doesn't have to giggle every time. But he has another point for an incorrect challenge. 3 seconds, Graham, on my favourite yoga position starting now.
My favourite yoga position is the choking snake.
Poor challenge.
This is deviation. Deviation, because he said my favourite position is a choking snake. He said it's the yawning sheep. I mean, he can only have one favourite position.
That's right.
He's had three.
As I find it. At this moment, I'm going to change my mind again.
Exactly.
But, Graham, you didn't establish that you changed your mind.
Well, we did, because you said a different position.
Are you two working together?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we want to win the car. We've
got a spirit.
It's the only thing keeping us together in our relationship.
We love games.
Paul, you have a correct chance.
Otherwise, it will be a hollow sham.
The audience's mind is in a whirl about what's going on here. Paul, half a second on my favourite yoga position, starting now.
Consider the Himalayas.
So Paul Merton, speaker to us, when gaining the extra point. He's now got a strong lead over the others, who are almost all three equal in second place. 1 point dividing, or separating each of them. Clement, it's your turn to begin. Yes, my words aren't coming out very clearly, it's true sometimes. And the next subject is Lewis Carroll. Tell us something about Lewis Carroll in just a minute, starting now.
If you go to Victoria Station and get a train to Eastbourne, some 20 minutes after Hayward's Heath, you get to Lewis, where everyone meets you on the platform in December and sings Good King Wenceslas Looked Out on the Feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, bright and crisp and even.
Paul Challenge.
Isn't it deep and crisp and even?
Yes, that's right.
Not the way they sing it in Lewis.
I think in an intelligent town like Lewis, they would get the words correct. So I have to say, Paul, you have a correct challenge. 37 seconds on Lewis Carroll, starting now.
Deep and crisp and even sounds a bit like a pizza. Loots a cow. Loots who? Who?
Loots a Linda Sound.
Deviation.
Yes, deviation from English as we understand it. And Linda, 33 seconds for you on Lewis Carroll, starting now.
Lewis Carroll, while undoubtedly a fine writer, also had a strange affiliation with young girls, which these days would probably have him...
Oh, Clement Challenge.
I thought they were boys. That's J.M. Barry. That's J.M. Barry.
Well, Clement, you're going to have to change that entry in your I Spy book of Victorian paedophiles.
I should explain to my listeners all...
No, please don't.
In the name of God, don't.
You have 25 seconds, Linda, on Lewis Carroll, starting now.
Lewis Carroll, as I implied before, would probably have to report to a police station once a week these days, and probably would be...
Repetition of probably.
Yeah, do you think?
Yes. Sure. 18 seconds, Paul, on Lewis Carroll, starting now.
Alice in Wonderland is one of those timeless books that's been adapted many times by the cinema.
Linda Charles.
Oh, no, wrong. Give him a point.
What do you think he said?
Because he said time and times, and I thought it was time.
He does that sometimes. He does that.
He's very devious.
He's played the game. Yeah. No, he's not. He just plays the game in a very clever way. Paul, another challenge. It was another challenge, but another point. 13 seconds. Lewis Carroll, starting now.
Jonathan Miller adapted it for television in the 1960s. I believe Peter Sellers played a wonderful part as the March Hare. And, of course, it's a production that screams out for character actors. Who can forget Nicholas Parsons as a Cheshire Cat?
So Paul Merton, my publicity agent, was then speaking as a whistle when gained an extra point, and he's got a strong lead. Let me give you the situation, because we're moving into the final round. I will give you the situation. Graham Norton is only just in fourth place, but it's a very strong fourth place. I know it's sad.
It is sad.
Because his contribution is magnificent.
Incredible.
And Clement is only 1 point ahead of him, and he always gives great contribution. Mm. And 3 points ahead of there's Linda Smith, and she's always fantastic.
And yet.
And we haven't even got to the wings yet. So the. And 4 or 5 points ahead is Paul Merton. As we go into the final round...
You don't want this to be the final round, do you?
You're
going to play the game of your life in this round.
I think that was a barbed comment at my expense, Graham. But anyway, sorry. I'm here to take them. Linda, the subject is a wolf. My God, isn't it come up, these subjects? A wolf in sheep's clothing. This is not design. These come up accidentally. That's the subject, Linda, and you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A wolf in sheep's clothing. A wolf in sheep's clothing has probably ended up that way because they went shopping with a friend who said, yes, it looks lovely on you. No, it doesn't make you look fat and woolly at all. I've never seen you in anything more wolf-like. It's you. They'd be better off taking Trini and Susanna off the telly because they would tell them what to wear. No, don't wear that. Haven't you got a decent bra, Mr. Wolf? What's wrong with you? Stand up straight. Stop slouching. Another wolf in sheep's clothing is Nicholas Parsons here, innocently luring innocent panellists to a fate.
You poor child.
Repetition of innocence.
No, he said innocent and innocently.
Oh, really?
Did
yes,
I?
Yes,
see,
you did.
I didn't even hear that.
Oh, that's good.
You were just channeling it.
Yes.
I was sitting next to you. You did say innocent people innocently.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Yes, that's right. And so you have an incorrect challenge. You have 21 seconds still. You continue. A wolf in sheep's clothing, starting now.
But Nicholas's gallantry there.
Clement, challenge.
Repetition of Nicholas.
Yes, you can't repeat me, I'm afraid. I know.
Such
it's sad,
a shame.
Isn't it? I know. So, Paul, Clement, you had a correct challenge then. 19 seconds available. A wolf in sheep's clothing, starting now.
I know so little about animals that I'm not at all sure whether I could tell a sheep in wolf's clothing from a wolf in sheep's clothing. As a consequence, I'd very much like someone to buzz me. Thank you.
Graham, you buzzed.
I did.
Yes.
Thank you.
And what's your challenge?
That he wanted me to.
Well, that's... so they call it hesitation.
We're leading up to a hesitation. Yes,
compassion.
Compassion. Give Clement for his witty comment a bonus point. And Graham has the subject, a point for correct challenge, Graham. A wolf in sheep's clothing, 7 seconds available, starting now.
It is one of my clearest memories, standing behind the school in Bandon, County Cork. The moon was high in the sky. It was a slight...
So, no more time to play Just a Minute, alas. For those interested, because, I mean, it's the contribution which is so much more important. Graham, great contribution, finished in a brilliant, brilliant fourth place. And only one point ahead of a strong third place, Clement Freud, and only 2 points ahead, a brilliant second place. But a few points ahead of Linda... That was Linda Smith, by the way. And, a few points ahead of Linda, in fact, a very strong lead, Paul Merton. So this week we say, Paul, you are our winner. Thank you. It only remains for me to say now, thank you to these four marvellous players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Linda Smith and Clement Freud. I also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score. She's blown the whistle beautifully after 60 seconds all the time. And we thank our producer-director, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this lovely game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here in the Yvonne Arnault Theatre in Guildford, who've cheered us on their way. We think they've had a good time. We've had a good time. Tune in the next time we all play Just a Minute. And from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye! Thank you.